Welcome back, everybody. It's a beautiful day on Easy Street. Mm-hmm. I'm Kelly Turner, and still I'm not a doctor.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Teddy Givens, not a lawyer.
We are your local team of experts here.
We keep saying that. You can't see the air quotes on your podcast platform, but no. We do it every time. So everybody knows. Your team of experts.
Yeah, here we are.
Did everybody have fun? Now, I know that Kelly was not at the Fall Festival.
No.
The annual event that our sponsor, the Chamber of Commerce, promotes heavily every week. It's the kickoff of the shop local season, as you will hear when we take a break today. Mm-hmm. But I know that Katie was there. I was there. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we had a good time. The weather was perfect. The food was delicious.
It's
I got some
warm.
Really good barbecue yesterday. Mm. Yeah, it was actually, I think 86 was the high yesterday, which is seemed a little warm. You remember two years ago when we set up our table at the Fall Festival.
You guys were bundled up.
We were bundled up. The weather was nippy, but we ended up in the sunshine and everybody ended up sunburned. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It's possible to get a sunburn in October because we had the red faces to show for it. But the weather was chilly that day, not yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Scott, why were we in the sun that day?
Because I was too lazy to go across the street to my office and get the tent that we use to keep the sun out of our faces when we're outside.
Scott's job was tent.
Just across the street,
I had
Scott.
One fucking job.
Yeah, you did,
and I blew it.
Last October, I played in a pickleball tournament and got sunburned.
Yeah, you mentioned that a couple
totally
weeks ago.
Totally sunburned.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess they're not doing that this year, huh?
They are.
Oh, they are? Okay, I just hadn't heard anything about it.
The Chamber shared a link a couple of days ago that the local community college is having a meeting at some point in the near future to discuss the creation of a pickleball league. And I thought of you two immediately when I read it.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
So maybe check on that for the dates on that and see if you want to attend that meeting.
Man, the Chamber, they just do so much for us.
I think they're gauging interest to see.
Thank you, the Chamber of Cherokee County, for being a sponsor.
Yeah.
And for being so good to our community.
Thanks.
We love it. So I missed that Fall Festival too when you guys were bundled up and also in the sun.
Strange how you're gone.
I know.
On Fall
it
Festival
always has
weekend.
Something to do with one of my kids.
Yeah.
This past time it was Nate Turner and he did an entire day in Huntsville at a mock trial, he and his team.
Did his team win?
Well, I don't know. They will find out later if they qualified for state, but proud mom moment, Nate got best premier attorney.
Well, right. That does not shock me.
So there's
there's
your premier team, which are your newbies, and then there's your older team, which are your, I don't know what that's called.
Yeah. But the guys who've done it before.
They're
not rookies.
Right. So he's like your attorney rookie of the year.
We'll go Nate Turner.
Yeah,
so wait a minute. Our lawyer is not a lawyer.
Right.
Here, Katie Givens. Maybe we need to swap her out for Nate since he's already
won
an award.
I'm sure of it.
He's already been an award-winning attorney, and he's 14.
I know it.
15, 16. How old
14.
Is he?
14.
Okay.
He will be 15 the 26th of October.
Okay. So. Well, early happy birthday.
Nate Turner.
To Natus Maximus.
William Nathaniel Turner.
That's it. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's his attorney name.
It's not going to fit on a business card.
It's a long name.
Katie, did you buy anything yesterday at Fall Festival?
We bought a couple slices of cheesecake from Karen.
Mm-hmm. Good friend
Always
Karen
good.
Was there. And you know, she spends her summers working at Jake's on the Lake, which is not a sponsor of this show, but could be.
They never will be.
I know.
And a barbecue sandwich. And then we went in Bushland Peck, which is a local boutique. And because Ellison.
Also not a sponsor, but could
needed
be.
Needed some clothes. And I also bought a shirt there because I had spilled said barbecue sandwich on my white tank top. And if you know anything about me, I cannot stand to have a stain. It's one of the reasons I think I wear a lot of black.
Katie loves a costume change.
Yeah, can't stand
in
it.
Mid-show.
I made a costume change in the dressing room there because I couldn't handle it any longer.
Well, I'm glad you got a new shirt out of it.
That was my intention yesterday. I'm not going to cook this past weekend. I was going to just eat street food. I was going to load up on enough stuff, barbecue, and I got some ribs from one of the local trailers that was set up on the street. I got some cheesecake from Karen, and I just had the whole weekend planned out. The Bama game last night, I've got a football game tonight that I want to check out, so no cooking in the kitchen, just chill out on the couch and eat good street food, and I'm halfway there as we record at 10:30 o'clock a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Do you want to tell everybody what you bought at the Fall Fest?
So I did a very dumb thing yesterday. I was walking into the office to go in and help set up. We sell t-shirts out front, even though we don't technically work in the t-shirt shop. We're in the same office building. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There was a lady set up beside my side door with a big cage full of puppies.
Mm.
And I already have two dogs at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to buy another one. You know how this ends. But I walked over to pet the little dog, and one of them stopped playing with the others, put her little paws up onto the cage, and stared right at me. And I've already told you guys this. I just reached for my wallet. I didn't know how much it was going to be. I knew I was going to have to chase that check to the bank on Monday to make sure that it didn't bounce. But yeah, I came home with a little red-haired Yorkie.
Okay.
And her name is Edwina Arizona McDonough.
Okay. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. If you've ever seen Raising Arizona, you know where that name comes from. So.
Calling her Ed?
And we're going to call her Ed. And technically, that way, I am Raising Arizona.
Aw. So, she's so cute.
Yeah, she's adorable.
And now your other dogs, though, they're not so sure.
We've got some friendship building to do.
Buford T. Justice liked her at first, but now he doesn't.
That's the way he felt when he woke up this morning.
And then Tilly never liked her and still doesn't like
Tilly doesn't like me.
Okay.
Tilly doesn't like anybody or anything. She tolerates the rest of the world. Everything else is just an annoyance that happens around her.
Okay, well, this is going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Now, what about...
It already is.
What about the cats?
The cats, you know, I've told you guys before, the one that loved me, he passed away a few months ago. These two just come in and eat, and then they go stand at the door and meow. They won't run back out.
So they don't even notice.
Either one of them even noticed that Weenie was in the house.
They're indifferent. They just couldn't care less.
I know.
Sometimes I wish I was more like a cat. Mm-hmm.
And little Edwina is chill. She's experiencing everything for the first time. So at one point I ran water yesterday and she was very inquisitive about that, even though she couldn't see the sink. The toilet flushed this morning and you would have thought that she had just witnessed Neil Armstrong put his first step on the moon. She was amazed.
Oh,
so anyway, she's learning, but she's got to get home and she will always have one. So I'm very excited.
Give me a good picture of all three of them together so I can put it on Instagram for everybody to see.
I will do so. It's going to be like herding cats to get those three together. But
you can do it.
But I've herded those two cats before. So we'll see what we can do with the dogs.
Awesome. All right. This week, do we have any shout outs?
Yeah, I have one.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I have one. Our good friend here locally, Misty Roberts.
Okay.
She told me a few weeks ago, and I forgot until I checked my notes just now. She has gotten the girls in her office, and I forget the exact name of her employer. Doesn't matter. But Misty is a friend of mine and a friend. I think you guys know Misty Roberts, right? She works over at the bowling alley and at her other job, which she works at during the week. And so she's got everybody in the office. She told me a few weeks ago, listening to the podcast. And so Misty, we appreciate you helping to spread the word. And I hope that you are okay with your award for that task being the satisfaction of a job well done, because we don't award prizes here.
Thank you so much, Misty. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here we go then. We have Katie in the big chair this week.
Feet a swinging.
Last week, we discussed a vampire from Florida, a self-proclaimed vampire that was kind of a twisted story. This week, I think we are continuing the windy and the twisty road that we are on. And here's the only thing that I know about this particular story. It is about yet another vampire.
Yes.
And are we in Kentucky?
We are in Kentucky. We are going to make our way back to Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're just connecting all the puzzle pieces.
Apparently for vampires, all roads lead to Florida.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because that's a lot of sunshine.
Wait, isn't that where
vampires?
What was that vampire show on Showtime a few years back with Sookie Stackhouse and...
Oh, True Blood.
Was that in Florida? Or Louisiana?
I need to watch True Blood.
It's good. Put the kids to bed.
The first season's
great. There's some nudity.
A little bit.
Not that I'm complaining, but just, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a... Mm-hmm.
But it's a book series too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I
think it was first,
I prefer the books.
Mm. Yeah, maybe that's what I'll
now,
do.
Now, season one was fantastic, but that was because it was right with the books.
Yeah.
And then they sort of take a big detour.
Yeah.
And it's okay, But the books are better.
But you just have to put the books out of your head
to watch
it.
Put them out of your head, yeah.
Dexter's the same way. The first season of Dexter was based on one of the first Dexter books. And then I think the showrunners went off in a different direction. Not that it got any worse. The best season of Dexter is season 4.
John Lithgow.
Where John Lithgow is the bad guy. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I did read the Dexter books.
Did you? Yeah. I read the first, what is it, Darkly Dreaming Dexter? Is that the first one? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
And that one's pretty much in line with season 1, and then
the only thing is the books can give you the his dark passenger that he talks about
better than you can,
and it gets you more inside Dexter's head and his workings more so than the show can do. But I think the show, when after I watched season 4, I stopped watching because I was like, it's not going to be any better than that.
You're right,
this is the best in
it
TV.
It never got
right
any
here.
Better than that.
That was it.
All right.
All right, Katie, we're back. We chased a squirrel just for a second, but now we're back.
Please do.
Now we're back. Vampires in Kentucky, I'm intrigued.
Well, we're going to start. Our main vampire here, his name is going to be Rod Ferrell, I believe, like Will Ferrell.
That sounds like a good vampire name.
I don't like him already.
Rod Ferrell.
Yeah, he just sounds like a bad dude.
Well, he is born March 28th, 1980. And like I would imagine most vampires, he had a traumatic childhood. Mm. He, there was some alleged sexual assault in his childhood by a family member.
Red flag number one.
No. I tried to look a little into this, not too hard, but it looks like there were some allegations that it might have been his grandfather.
Oh, no.
And there were some allegations that some really messed up things happened that I really don't care to go into.
Yeah. Well, and they're just allegations, right?
No charges ever pressed against anybody, nothing like that. There was some cousins who came out and said some things later on and kind of verified his story. So I'm inclined to believe something happened.
Yeah.
But there's just no proof of anything.
Okay.
His mother and father are going to split when he's young, and she's going to get remarried and divorced several times. And this is going to move them in between Florida and Kentucky. So she's going to find a husband in Florida, and then she's going to move back to Kentucky when they split. She'll get another husband, and they kind of do a little moving back and forth. His mother was even charged later on, and we'll get a little more into this, but she's going to be charged with solicitation to commit rape. After there were some letters surfaced that she was trying to convince one of his friends when he's about 14 to have sex with her.
Oh, gosh.
This is all starting to fit together like somebody who ends up totally screwed up.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So Rod's got a weird upbringing. But by the time he is 16, he is going to be a very destructive teenager. He's going to be into drug usage. He is even going to turn his bedroom into a shrine to the occult.
Mm.
He had been observed taking part in satanic rituals. There was some self-harm going on that got really bad to the point that he carved an upside-down cross into his own chest.
You do stuff like that in Arkansas, and it will get you sentenced to the gas chamber.
Really?
For murder. Remember Damien Eccles?
No, they didn't even do that. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't even carve any. He just had black fingernails and black hair.
Yeah, no, this guy's a lot, a lot worse.
So he has taken a knife or some sort of sharp object and literally cut himself, cut a...
Upside down cross.
Oh, my goodness. At what, 16?
16.
Oh.
His bedroom had a copy of the Satanic Bible.
Okay.
There were a lot of upside down crosses all throughout his bedroom. He had broken shards of glass just laying in the corner. I don't know if that was part of a ritual or not. Mm. There were like hooks and metal cables like wrapped around in the bedroom. And he believed that he was a 500-year-old vampire named Visego.
Okay. What are his parents doing?
Are they
into the occult? Does this go along with their religion of their family?
No.
Or
I think his mom does kind of end up participating a little with him, but his mom is, I think, pretty mentally ill.
Okay.
Has suffering from some mental illness.
Well, her son is too.
Yeah, she's not doing well, and I think
that's okay. No one is doing well.
No.
What year are we in?
We are in 1996.
96. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds like the whole family is overdue for a CAT scan. Mm-hmm. But I'm no doctor.
Yeah.
So this belief is believed to have stemmed from he had this obsession with this game called, this role-playing game called Vampire the Masquerade.
Okay. Never heard of that.
Me either, and I didn't really look it up because I don't know if I wanted that in my search history. if this is what it turns people into.
Vampire the Masquerade.
It was a role-playing game. I'm guessing kind of like Dungeons and Dragons.
Sounds like it.
But a vampire-like.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ever played D&D? I never have.
I never have. I've seen clips of other people playing it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come across as bad, and mm-mm. you know when I was in, which would be in the 90s, mm-hmm. 96, I'm in high school, and it was commonly thought that folks who played D&D were just like bad, or they're, you know, they're the goth kids or mm-hmm. the strange yeah. kids or yeah. But I mean, it's really not the way that it is. It's
not really.
Really more your nerdy kids.
Yeah.
I don't say that in a bad way, lovingly. Everybody's seen Big Bang Theory.
Sure.
And they play that all the time. It. Yeah. So.
But I think like religious people probably wouldn't let their kids play.
Definitely not. That was not going to be, no.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That's right up there with a Ouija board. Right. I would think for the family
and
like
same
that.
Kids, mm-hmm. You get so into it, they won't let you read Harry Potter and stuff because mm-hmm. it's witchcraft.
Yeah.
Which, like,
rabbit hole. Skip over it.
I know.
My grandmother was very Southern Baptist, and I was very obsessed with Harry Potter, and she didn't think there was anything wrong with it. She knew that I didn't think I was a witch or a wizard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But people would always be like, "Your grandmother lets you read that?" And I was right. like, "Why?" And then they took me down that thought. I was like, don't tell her this. She may not read
it. It hadn't even occurred to her.
Yeah,
don't take my books away, please. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so this is a new type of role play game. Yes. To me, it's not new, but it's new to me. So what do you know anything else about it, or did they say anything?
I think you play as vampires. And so I think he got very into vampire.
What's that called? I'm just going to Google it.
Vampire the Masquerade.
Okay. It's right. going to be on my search history. You've all heard it here.
Yeah.
It's on my search history, mm-hmm. and everybody here,
we'll have
you
a
are
disclaimer
my witnesses.
In the show notes.
You know why I'm looking this up. So back me up one day.
All right, Katie.
What is this called again? Sorry.
Vampire the Masquerade.
Vampire. Okay. All right. Go ahead. I'll shut up.
So he then becomes a part of a vampire cult named the Vampire Clan, or just Vampire Clan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's the there. And the other members, he's described them as part of a unique brotherhood. The cult members tended to meet and perform most of their blood rituals at a location dubbed the Vampire Hotel, which was an abandoned former home mm-hmm. in the thick woods surrounding Kentucky Lake, Kentucky.
All right.
Sounds terrifying.
They also did some of these rituals at cemeteries, because of course they did.
Right.
But they had this abandoned home they had found, which I think was literally just like probably a shack of a place remaining, because it said it was very deteriorated. Like,
yeah.
No one's...
Like a one-story no-tell motel that went out of business.
Yeah, maybe.
It was lake somewhere.
But it was... Yeah, I think it was a home, actually.
Oh, okay. I thought you said hotel. I'm sorry. I misheard.
They called it the Vampire
Hotel.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
They were reported to not only drink each other's blood, but also torture one another for sexual gratification.
Mm.
So far, none of this is in this game. No. Just looking at the rules here seems, you know...
Yeah, no, they are.
Sounds like they're making up a lot of this as they go along.
They're drinking blood.
Yeah, there's nothing in this game that would suggest that. I mean, I'm just at a quick glance, so you know, we can look more.
You order
later,
the game and play it next week and come back with a full report.
Anyways, it's just a role-playing game, seems like.
There may at one point have been up to like 30 people involved in this vampire clan.
So how do you get 30 people? I'm so fascinated by this.
Because mm-hmm. you've got five dedicated people and the rest are friends of friends and a couple of hangers-on that
but
want to be cool.
Are
and
they
aren't.
All drinking blood and doing all this stuff?
I think to participate, you have to participate. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think
they've got an initiation.
I think there's a lot of like there's a lot of sexual components to this, and some there's an initiation apparently. I never found what the initiation was, but it talked of an initiation into the group.
Maybe some teenagers just looking for an excuse to have sex.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
And as it's funny, Scott threw out five because there were five key members.
I swear part I didn't
of
know
our,
that.
A part of our story here.
How did you know that, Scott? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's really four key members and then one that they're bringing into the fold.
Okay.
So we got Rod Farrell, our main guy here, Scott Anderson, and Charity Keese. They're all 16. Heather Windorf is going to come into our story. She's also 16. And then we have Dana Cooper, who is 19. And Dana is actually the leader of the group. So Rod is the most famous member of this group after all is said and done with our story here. But Dana was the leader.
Dana's not a minor.
Nope. She is 3 years older than everyone else. I don't know how long they had had this group going. I don't know what age she was when she became the leader, I guess. But no, she is not a minor. So that we got three girls and two guys mainly as a part of our story.
All right.
Because, yeah, Charity, Heather, and Dana are all women. And then Rod and Scott are guys.
All right.
So four of our group members, Rob, Scott, Charity, and Dana, are going to travel from Kentucky to Florida. They loaded up in the car, and they're planning to pick up Heather, who lived in Florida. And Heather and Rod had known each other from back when he lived in Florida.
Okay.
And they had kept in touch.
Okay, so there's that connection.
Yep, yep.
They had kept in touch when he moved back to Kentucky. And according to Rod, Heather had a bad home life. According to him, she had told him that she was being abused by her parents and she wanted to join the group and get out of her house. So they're like, well, we'll come get you.
Is this like their own version of like Lost Boys?
Sounds like it.
Because their plan is they're going to go get Heather and then they're going to go to New Orleans and set up a new life, which seems very stereotypical. You got a group of vampires. Let's get to New Orleans.
And the Anne Rice books were wildly popular during this time.
Yeah, and wasn't this just about the time that True Blood was on the air on Showtime? I think it probably was. So that probably had... Is that not the right time frame?
It was on HBO and it was in the early...
I keep saying Showtime. I mean HBO.
It was in the 2000s when it started coming on. Mm-hmm. But the Anne Rice stuff, this is back when she was having her big parties and balls, and the books were just very extremely popular. That movie had
Interview with a Vampire mid-90s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have seen Interview with a Vampire. Ha-ha!
That we Look got there. One.
One in a row for Katie Beth.
Yep.
So Rod and Scott are going to arrive at Heather's house, and Heather is not going to be there. She is gone to meet up with the two girls. So Rod and Scott are at her house. All the girls are off somewhere else.
Okay.
And we'll tell you what else happened on this trip after a word from our sponsor.
Kelly and Katie, let me tell you guys a quick story. Recently, while I was dining at Easy Street, I met a man from Georgia who told me that he and his wife were visiting the Weiss Lake area, planning to relocate here permanently when he retires soon. I told him the first thing that came to my mind, call Greg Oliver. At Go Realty, the number is 256-504-3847. Greg is the owner and the broker at Go Realty right here in Cherokee County. If you're thinking of moving here or anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, if you're looking for property anywhere in the area, call Greg. He has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he's ready to help you find exactly what you're looking for. He's got 25 years of experience in the real estate market. Go again and look at that complete list that he currently has for offer. That's Greg Oliver. WeissLake.com. So visit the website or call Greg Oliver at...
What's that number again?
Thanks, guys. 256-504-3847.
Hey, guys. I want to tell you about one of our newest sponsors, and that is Cherokee Family Healthcare. Cherokee Family Healthcare is located right here on Main Street in Center, Alabama.
Connie Geimer, who is a nurse practitioner there, is an acute emergency and family specialist, along with Piper Pierce, who's a family and psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. They offer many services at Cherokee Family Healthcare, such as...
They have primary care, mental health, urgent care, can get DOT physicals, they handle weight loss, IV hydration, We all need that from time to time. You can get a same day appointment and walk-ins are welcome.
Yeah. So give them a call
at 256-266-1021. And as we move into our holiday season, the Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce wants to remind everyone to shop local.
Cherokee County has some lovely shops that you can patron throughout the holiday season. Get any kind of gifts that you need. Scott, what kind of gifts do you need?
I don't really need anything, but there are plenty of things that I want, and you can get a lot of those things right here in Cherokee County. You can get a great meal at one of the many restaurants that is a member of the Chamber of Commerce. It's as simple as filling up your gas tank at a local station.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go out of town to do some shopping, if you have to leave town, but we hope you don't. Stay right here in Cherokee County.
Oh, yeah. And my gift that I want you to get me, Scott, you can definitely buy local. So I'll let you know about that later.
Well, you're going to ruin the surprise.
So we want to challenge all of you to make sure to do as much shopping as you can this holiday season right here in Cherokee County.
And if you need more information, visit cherokee-chamber.org.
Guys, we want to let you know that don't forget that Easy Street is now open for lunch 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday at 11.
Great lunch menu. Mm,
let's do lunch.
Brand new. We've shared it on our Facebook page, and I know that Shane has also shared it on the Easy Street Facebook page, so it's easy to find the menu, and it's terrific. Everything on it.
Yes. What's your favorite thing, Scott?
I like the hamburger steak with the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes are better than I can make, and I make pretty darn good mashed potatoes.
No, they are.
They're terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, so what's your favorite?
Yeah.
I like, well, you can get a flatbread pizza. Mm-hmm. I also like just the chicken fingers.
Yeah, chicken fingers are great. Best chicken fingers in town. How about you, Kelly?
I like the rice bowl with the chicken and the vegetables.
It's all
the
good.
Yum yum sauce.
Oh,
so delicious. You're not going to go wrong. Salad bar's always fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have lunch at Easy Street. You might see us there one day.
Yeah, you never know. 11 to 2 every day is when the menu prices on the lunch menu are.
That sounds right.
That's right. Something like that. Everything that comes out of that swinging door is delicious at Easy Street, we promise.
Yes. Thank you to Easy Street for being our primary sponsor, our main sponsor.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane. Go eat lunch.
Yes.
Yes.
Come see us.
Thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors. All right, Katie, we are in Florida. The two males are, since we're vampires, you know, it's male or female, right? Mm-hmm. We're not men and women anymore.
Right.
So the two males are in Heather's home.
Yes.
And then the three females are gone somewhere.
They're just, they're off. I'm not exactly sure where they are at this time, but they're not anywhere near the house.
Shopping, probably.
Yeah. So we're, like I said, we're in Florida, November 25th of 1996.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Once inside the home, this is Heather's home, she shares with her two parents, well, with her dad and her dad's girlfriend and her sister.
Okay.
So, Heather, her dad's Richard Windorf, and then his girlfriend, I kept labeling her as his partner, so maybe they had been together a long time and just not married, but her name was Naoma Ruth Queen. Rod is going to attack Richard with a crowbar and beat him over the head more than a dozen times.
This is after Heather had told him about the abuse or the alleged abuse she was experiencing.
Okay. That is
12's enough times.
That's what Rod is going to say.
Okay.
So he is going to kill her father.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough times to do that.
And so the girlfriend is going to come downstairs and she's going to attempt to defend herself by throwing hot coffee at Rod.
Okay, good, good.
But he is then going to beat her with the same crowbar. So he's murdered them two fairly quickly and
bludgeoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just going to take off and their bodies are going to be found by Heather's sister, Jennifer.
Oh, no. How old is she? Do you know?
She is, I believe she's older than Heather. I tried to look that up too, but I couldn't find much.
She wasn't in the home or anything.
No.
Okay.
And Katie, maybe you're going to explain this.
Not from what I could tell, anyway.
Okay.
Do we know that that was the plan from the beginning, or did it just kind of devolve into that when they all got in the same room with each other, the bludgeoning of both of them?
I'll skip to that then and let
you
know.
I'm sorry.
So, no, that's fine. So he is, well, no, actually, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
After the murders, the guys are going to go pick up the girls, and they're going to leave Florida because, like I said, their plan is to go to New Orleans. They want to assume a low profile and just start a new life in New Orleans, seemed to already be the plan before the murders.
There's our Alabama connection, because if you drive from Florida to New Orleans, you have to cross the Bay Bridge.
There we go.
Yes. Mobile.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah. They're gonna go across, what is all it, right, four different state lines, mm-hmm, to get, mm-hmm, to Louisiana.
Yeah. New Orleans is probably a good enough city to be able to blend into the background, mm-hmm, start anew. Yeah.
And I'm not exactly certain about the geography on this, Scott, but I don't know if they did cross the Bay Bridge. I think they might have took a different path, because they're going to make it to Baton Rouge.
I think that would, I think you'd still take I-10.
You'd still go through Baton
and
Rouge.
And go across Mobile, and then you would go up to, would that be Jackson or Starkville in Mississippi, and then come down into Louisiana. But you kind of have to go through Baton Rouge to get to New Orleans.
Okay, do you? So, okay.
Yeah.
If you're going the fastest possible way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what they were
Who knows?
But yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. That's the way you would go, I think.
Yeah, I've been to New Orleans all of one time, and I did not drive. And I was coming from here and not south. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, they're going to make it to Baton Rouge when Charity, one of the girls that's with them, is going to call her mother asking for some more money. So they're already out of money, I guess.
Maybe not as well planned out as we thought.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're calling this well planned out ever.
I mean, number one, if you're going to start a new life, have money in your pocket to do
it. And she's 16, so she's calling her mother. She's a 16-year-old who's took up and headed out. And
cell phone is very new at this point. Mm-hmm. It's not like everybody had a cell phone.
Yeah, I'm not thinking this was on a cell phone. I'm thinking probably pay phone, mm-hmm, that she's called her mom on.
Yeah.
Waiting for at the gas station for the Western Union wire, mm-hmm, of money to come through.
Yep. Yeah. So her mom she's going to call the police, and she's going to tell them where they're planning on staying. So Charity must have said, we're here. We're going to stay the night here. Mm-hmm.
Good job, Mom.
Yeah, way to go, Mom.
Smart call.
So the officers are going to be waiting for them when they get to their place they plan to stay for the night. And now we're going to answer some of your questions, Scott. So Rod is going to admit to the murders, and other group members are going to confess to knowing part of the plan to murder the couple.
Mm.
But he is going to maintain that that was never the plan.
Well, sure, he's the one who did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he simply... was simply trying to steal their car so that they could get Heather out of what he said was an abusive home. And then he's going to blame the drugs he was on and the adrenaline of the situation for him losing his control and, to quote him, lashing out at the couple.
Well, smart enough to realize that those are some things that he may need in his defense trial to convince people not to send him to the gas chamber or the electric chair.
Yeah, I think it's electric chair, probably in Florida at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was he says, we were just trying to steal their car. And then when we got in there and the dad, you know, came at me or said something to me, I just remembered all the things she had told me, mm-hmm, and I just lost it.
And then Mom came at me with a cup of coffee and I was just defending myself.
What drugs he was on?
No, I don't. I think they were on lots of different drugs, probably. I mean, I guess this is the late 90s or mid to late 90s. So they were all using a lot of drugs. I'm not exactly sure what they
marijuana, were on. Ecstasy, acid.
They may have, it may have been some heroin too in there. Or like, that. You know, like.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to throw a little meth in there.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, right. Seriously.
At that time
So even before these murders, Rod had been under investigation. I laughed because in like this part of the story, when I was looking up, they kept calling him the vampire, and I just can't with a straight face call him the vampire.
Mm-mm.
But
no. But his name almost sounds like a really terrible porn name. Too.
Yes.
Like Rod Farrell.
It really, yes.
Buck Naked.
Or maybe you're a very Farrell Rod.
If you look him up too, it says other names, Visago, you know, his vampire name.
Right. Like, Visago.
You know, that's the vampire he believed he is. He still believes he is this 500-year-old vampire. And this is just the body he's assumed this lifetime, I guess.
So is he telling the police officers this part of the story, that he is, in fact, a 500-year-old vampire?
You may as well. May as well try to sound nuts
and
while you're at it.
So are they on the phone with the psychiatrist at this point?
There is some mental health.
They're saying, this is... this is out of our lane here.
Yeah.
They investigate that route. We'll go into that a little about the trial, but yeah. He is going to have been under investigation, though, for crimes previous to this, because he apparently forced his, y'all are not going to like this, forced his way into an animal shelter Murray, Kentucky, and attacked about a dozen dogs.
No.
Killing two.
No.
And injuring another so bad it had to be put down.
Hang him. Hang him.
What?
Right now.
Why?
He wanted to drink their blood, probably.
You know, I don't, it doesn't say in this, but that's where my mind went to.
Yeah. Slit their throats and let their blood drain out into something so he could drink it.
You know, because if you watch enough vampire stuff, that's how the good vampires keep a hold on their vampire tendencies, as they drink animal blood. But it never, you know, it never satisfies like the human blood.
That's right. I remember that from True Blood.
That is, that's true.
Also in Vampire Diaries, they do that.
They do that too.
Probably in all of them.
Yeah.
Standard
vampire lore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what maybe Louis was doing in Interview with the Vampire. Was he not for a while living off of animals?
It's been so long.
Remembering. You know, he was the one that had the good heart.
Was that Brad Pitt?
Didn't want to hurt people. Yeah. Brad. Anyways, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, they go animal blood and then they will get. The new age vampires will get like blood from like blood banks, but it's cold. So it's not warm. Mm-hmm. They don't like the cold blood.
Don't buy a microwave.
Is he saying all of this? Like,
no.
Oh, so we don't even know.
Katie is saying all of this.
It could just be that he's a psychopath.
Yes.
That he's
that's what I think.
Harming animals.
I was going to say shit nuts crazy, but you did it better than me.
And to maybe put some of this in perspective, we'll go back to his mother. So, I'm going to get a little out of order here, but we all know that he is going to, you know.
Nobody knows the order except you.
He's going to be found guilty of these murders, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll get through the trial on everybody in a second, but he's going to come up for like a resentencing hearing at some point, and his mother's going to speak.
Ooh.
And to reporters, not at court.
Oh.
And she's going to go on to say that she's changed a lot. She is no longer the mentally ill former prostitute and cult member who tried to solicit a 14-year-old boy for sex in a vampire initiation ritual.
She said that to reporters on TV?
To a paper.
Ma'am, could you come over here for a second? We've got a couple of bracelets we want you to try on.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So if that makes,
did they park up and go, now, wait a minute, let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did she do any time for that, or did she get any?
You know, I don't know. She actually served time, but she did have she did have a charge for the solicitation of a 14-year-old.
Because nothing happened.
Right.
She just
solicited.
I mean, that's still bad, but at least she did not entice this 14-year-old.
Then the act did not actually happen. But it sounds like she was a prostitute for a little bit.
Okay.
Because she has said that she is no longer a prostitute, so I would assume that means that she. No engaged.
I would just say you can be a sex worker and not solicit 14-year-olds.
Yes.
That's true.
That is the only...
And not be an occult member and raise your son in an environment where he's abused and, you know, lives out these fantasies and you're not trying to get any help for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is... the only evidence that I have showing that she was a part of this cult, because she says she's no longer a cult member. So I'm like, oh, she must have been participating in these cult activities.
Yeah, a lot of admissions in her statement of denial.
And too, if she's obviously not if she's struggling with mental health issues herself.
Mm.
That's the thing. You know, you have to have a license to catch a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can become a parent.
Yeah, that's right. So, go fishing next time. if you don't think you're going to be good at this.
Can't get a license.
You can always throw the fish back.
But now we'll go back a little bit to the actual trial of all of these teenagers.
I'm predicting
so
this is going to be one of those quick ones where it doesn't take very long.
Yeah. I'm just
the jury they literally walk in out of one door and back into the other door with their verdict.
Yeah, I'm just so concerned about all of these. These are kids still. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're teenagers.
I'll bet they were tried as adults in Florida.
But they're I don't know. Maybe that's the mother in me trying to.
Yeah.
Something is.
Rationalize, when, figure out I'm some
not,
way.
I'm not rationalizing for them. I'm just saying they need some help.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily sure that jail is what all of them need. Or even Rod.
Well, it sounds like you have a much better motherly instinct than the boy's mother.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. That bar's pretty low.
Yeah, true.
But I feel bad. I know that Rod has brutally murdered two people. And so, yes, he deserves to pay for his crimes. Mm. But this is a group of concerning teenagers with concerning behavior that is so far out of typical. It is disturbing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. So, like I said, they were on the run for about 4 days before they were caught because, you know, Charity's going to call and ask her mom for money. And so they were still in November of 1996. So the trial is going to start February 12th of 1998, or Rod's trial is going to start February 12th, 1998. He's going to be 18 by this time. Mm. But, you know, the murders were committed when he was 16, but he's going to be 18. He is tried as an adult, though, and he's going to plead guilty, though. So he's going to plead guilty to the murders. He's going to say that everyone who was traveling with him were innocent except Scott, who was just an accessory. Because he was there when the murders were committed, but he's going to basically try to take all the blame.
But Scott was there and didn't do anything to stop him.
Right.
Okay.
So he's just an accessory is how Rod's going to frame it. Mm-hmm. He's going to plead guilty to two counts of felony murder. His attorneys are going to try to argue the insanity defense, saying he had been diagnosed with mental disorders like, I don't know, I've never heard of this, but schizotypal personality disorder.
Schizotypal.
Schizo, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Asperger's, which who doesn't have Asperger's? You know, like we're all a little on the spectrum. Yeah. Or maybe that's just
fair
me.
Enough.
Yeah. I don't think that drives you to commit murder.
Exactly. Exactly. Being on the spectrum doesn't make you.
Yeah.
Kill two people brutally.
No.
Schizotypal, maybe.
Yeah, well, is that what makes him think he's a vampire?
Definitely.
Okay. That's his other personality.
And that's a personality disorder. And there's nothing. You can do some things for that, but that's when it's a personality disorder, it is, that's a different type of disorder.
Is that the same affliction that would lead you to have a multiple personality disorder?
I mean, it could be, but this is going to be more like schizophrenic. So you're going to have those hallucinations.
Okay.
You're going to have that delusion. Mm-hmm. You're going to reality and fantasy very clouded, which describes him perfectly.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that he's in this cult and he plays this video game or this board game or whatever.
It enhances everything.
Yeah. Shines a spotlight on him, mm-hmm. sounds like.
I guess they're going to bring in like experts from the University of Florida. They're going to testify that he sometimes witnessed spiritual things like angels and demons.
There you go.
Hallucinations.
Yeah. But he is, like I said, he's going to plead guilty and he's going to be sentenced to death.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
And for 2 years, he is going to be the youngest inmate on death row. But
I just don't know that I agree with this yet.
Well, in November of 2000, a court is going to reduce his sentence to life.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't agree to plead guilty to two counts of felony murder.
For the death sentence.
In exchange for the death sentence.
Who's his lawyer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, and it had a lot to do with him being a minor too. And still today, like I mentioned, those resentencing hearings, he keeps coming. Not anymore. I think he's ran his course on all of that. But he would go up for some resentencing hearings because they said that a minor couldn't always have the mandatory life sentence. Like they didn't believe in always because for the crime, anyone else would get a mandatory life sentence. But they said we can't apply that to minors the same as we do adults. So we need to like look at the situation.
Okay.
But
all right.
But
that's why you resentence him after he becomes an adult, right?
Yeah. And that, well, they, like I said, they reduced his sentence to life. And then with the lot, since he had the life, then they kept coming, which must have been new laws passed.
Okay.
Since they kept coming back and relooking at his sentence. But like at the last one, that's when his mother gave that weird statement to reporters.
That really has nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. It's about her.
Maybe the statute of limitations had expired on the charges that his mother could have been brought up on, which is why she felt safe saying the things that she did to a gathering of newspaper
reporters.
I bet
that his mother hasn't. I think it's just her research.
Well, I think it's just self-serving.
Yeah.
But I would say that that just kind of tells you a little bit of what you might need to know about his upbringing and and his parental supervision, in quotes.
Yeah. Sometimes the fang-marked apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Exactly.
Yeah, and at the same hearings, Heather's sister, Jennifer, would come and she would speak. And, you know, I had to witness, you know, my parents on the floor bludgeoned to death. Like, awful. You know, this man deserves to be in prison.
Mm-hmm. He's dangerous.
Yeah.
He's dangerous. You know, despite the mental health issues. And then you have to ask.
Do those make him dangerous?
I mean, yeah. Does he need to be out in the free world? Mm-hmm. I don't think he does.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it.
Mm-mm.
So, Scott Anderson is going to be convicted of the same charges as Farrell, and he's going to be sentenced to life.
Okay.
And he is actually going to have the possibility of parole, though. They're going to go back and look at his sentencing. And I believe, I didn't write it down, I believe the first year he would be eligible for release would be 2031.
Okay. Now, does Scott still believe he is a vampire?
I don't think the rest still believe they're a vampire. From what I've seen, though, I think Rod still says that he is a, from what I can.
Rod is, yeah.
Yeah.
That may be a survival technique in prison.
I don't know. This is, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, but this was.
But being a vampire is not why he killed these people. You know, he didn't kill, it didn't have anything to do with their. Because I kept waiting on that. I kept waiting on the, we drained too much blood or we, you know, use them for. No, he just bludgeoned them to death.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the.
The vampire brought him into the orbit of these people that he ended up committing this crime with and the person who he went to save in his deluded mind.
Yeah.
To save from this life of abuse. But he didn't drink their blood.
No, no. And in the moment, he may have thought about those things that she had told him, and he may have truly, his intent was to take a bad man away from her life. I mean, I don't know that, but if he's believing that this man was abusive to her and then hurts her, and then he's starts thinking about that, then, you know, it may very well, but it doesn't change the fact that he bludgeoned two people to death in cold blood. I mean, you know.
Well, and for all we know, that was made up so that the girl's friends would drive 700, 800 miles from Kentucky to come pick her up.
She just wanted, I mean, it could, we don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, there's no evidence. I couldn't find anything.
Sounds like two innocent people were bludgeoned to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, were actually trying to
In that sense, the court system got it right.
Their children.
Yeah.
You know?
And Charity and Dana, remember, Charity was 16 and Dana was 19 when this happened. They're going to be convicted of two counts of third-degree murder, robbery with a gun or deadly weapon, and burglary armed with a weapon or explosives.
That's probably 25 to life, isn't it?
How did they get the murder charge? They weren't even there.
So third-degree murder must be like I knew about it.
You have knowledge of it.
That's why we were gone conveniently.
It may have been in Florida like they were involved in other crimes that led to a murder because that's a charge.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Charity, who was the 16-year-old, is going to be sentenced to 10 and a half years.
Okay.
And Dana, the 19-year-old, sentenced to 17 and a half years.
Okay.
So are they?
Yeah.
They're out.
Charity got out in 2006. And so she didn't serve the whole time. And then Dana, it got out in 2011.
And do you know anything about them? Mm-hmm. They just disappeared after that or?
Yeah, because the only one I could really find anything on was Heather.
Mm-hmm.
So Heather, she's going to go up before a grand jury twice to try to get her charged with something. And both times the grand juries refused to charge her with anything. Now, remember, it's Heather's parents.
Something additional, you mean?
No, at all.
Oh, okay.
Because these are her parents.
The only people who have been charged.
Oh, Dana. Okay, sorry.
Heather. So the only people who have been charged, we've got Rod, who did the murders,
yep.
Scott, who was there with him,
okay,
and then the other two girls who rode with them down to Florida, and Heather was who they were picking up in Florida. This is her parents, her house that the crime occurred at.
I swear I've been listening. I just got confused.
These are a lot of names. That's why I went back and ran through. Heather was never charged with a crime.
Okay.
They tried to say that she knew about the plan to murder her parents, and she says she did not. So okay. that she just had, you know, she thought they were picking her up and they were going to go, maybe she thought they were just going to go get her stuff from her house. I'm not exactly sure what her whole story is, but she is married now, was studying art in one of the Carolinas, I think, at one point.
Okay.
And just kind of like lives a quiet life. She's ostracized from her family. Her family wants nothing to do with her sister. Mm-hmm. None of her family right. has anything to do with her.
So they obviously believe that she had something to do with everything.
Sounds like it. They're not to be supportive of someone who didn't end up
right.
caught in the legal system. They right. they think something different.
Mm. Or at least, you know, you brought these people into our lives brought that them. Did this, yeah. regardless mm. if you knew, you're the reason they were here.
But she's, as you said, lives a quiet life, mm-hmm. hasn't hurt anyone, hasn't right. committed any more crimes or yeah. that we know of.
Yeah,
yeah she... said she, yeah, North Carolina. Okay. But that was back in the last and I mean, update from her. That was like 2006.
Okay. And I mean, technically, she's found innocent twice, that's wasn't right. she?
Went yes. Before, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, yeah, but mm-hmm. yeah, the grand jury never would bring yeah. charges up. So, like, I think.
So, yeah. So, technically, she's.
Yeah. And what's innocent. The old saying, Katie? You can indict a ham sandwich with a grand jury. So,
yeah, it's like, it's,
yeah, that's it's.
It's not hard to get an indictment, but right. they decided so, yeah, her.
They did not have anything.
But yeah, Rod is still in. Volusia County, Florida?
Volusia. Okay. Yeah, that's close to Daytona.
Okay, yep. That's where he is held and will be from here on out.
Or what's his vampire name?
Visago.
Visago is held there.
Visago's in Volusia.
Yes. He is.
Good luck with that.
I just think he needs to stay there. I just because I don't have anything better for him. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so unfortunate about our system. And I don't really have a good answer for this because how many times have we talked about asylums and and institutions that were awful and horrible and did more damage than they did good?
Yeah.
You know, so why can't we do that right? Why can't we get a mental health hospital right? I don't understand that.
Well, isn't it just because nobody wants to spend the money that would require to spend so much time and energy on something that's not going to have any long-term effect on the rest of society.
That's
it's just
going to
keep
reasons.
That one person.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons.
As small an amount of crazy as possible. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That is one of the reasons. And it's not, it's just unfortunate because you have all of these other inmates there and, you know, they're in prison and, most of them, I'm sure there's some that are innocent there, but most of them did horrible things to be put there.
Yeah. Or can't be let loose in society.
Correct. So, but this particular man is a violent man. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need to be out in society, but is not getting anything.
Except isolation.
In jail. I mean, it's just.
Well, look, the next step is we're the Nazis.
I mean, you know? And it does come back to money, Scott, why we can't get something like that right here in this country. I don't, anyways, it's just terrible, but.
I know the judge says like your family failed you, society failed you. Yes. Like you are, he said, you're a dangerous young man, you know, and you're.
Couldn't have said it better, Judge.
He basically was like, you're not okay. And you need to, we're going to put you over here.
And unfortunately, it's probably not your fault.
That's kind of, I mean, you know, that's kind of what he's, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Things went wrong in your life and here you are, but that's.
But you can't be out and about because you're violent.
Yeah. And I was thinking of like other, like he's done some weird stuff throughout. Like at one point he was trying to distance himself from the vampire stuff. Like he would stick his tongue out when they would take his picture and say, God bless America. He came up and said he was being framed by a rival vampire clan. Like, it's just some. Weird
it's just
things.
So disorganized in thinking, and there's not. I need to see a picture of him because I want to see what he
it's
looks
very
like.
Very normal looking.
Do his eyes look like Charles Manson's eyes?
Nobody's eyes look like Charles Manson's eyes.
The eyes. You take one look at his eyes, and you're like,
you know
ooh.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just has
I mean,
like
they don't.
Katie.
Look.
He looks 100% crazy.
They don't look like
now,
Charles,
I already know
Charles
that he
Manson
is.
Eyes, but those eyes are...
Let me find a...
They
old,
tell a story.
Now that
those
you've
eyes
mentioned it, though, his old pictures do look different. You're right. I've been looking at that picture of him so long.
Mm-hmm.
If I see that guy coming at me on the...
Mm-mm. Never mind.
On the paper towel aisle at the local grocery store,
ignore
I'm going to throw...
He's not normal looking.
We will put these on Instagram and you can see Rod...
This would mean the tongue sticking out in all his yeah. pictures.
Yeah, that's worse.
He looks like the...
He looks like a 90s teenager here.
He looks
the
like the guy from Stranger Things, the last mm. episode.
You can
Eddie,
tell he dyed his hair, though, because if you look at the where the hair's growing out at the yeah. top.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Was it Eddie? The guy that was loosely based on one of the West Memphis 3 that was in Stranger Things. Was it Eddie?
I don't know. I haven't seen Stranger Things.
He was
Things.
Over the Hellfire Club.
I'm behind the curve on that. That's.
Mm-hmm. He's very young in that picture she showed. We'll put all this on Instagram. Yes. I realize that we're not including our listeners in what we're.
This is the picture that comes up for him now.
Okay, so like, we'll make sure that all this is on Instagram. You can check it out and see what you think. I agree with the judge. Gosh, I just couldn't say it better. Mm-hmm. Your family failed you. Society failed you. You can't be.
You're done here.
You can't be out in the world. Mm-hmm. So. Incredibly sad, and then two innocent people lost their lives and a family just torn apart.
Yep.
Gosh.
And I would have to believe that he would have murdered again.
It
seemed
so
too easy
mm-hmm.
for
well,
him.
That's how, you know, serial killers don't necessarily intend to become serial killers, but after they kill that first time, mm-hmm. there's a thrill that you can only get that way again.
And I personally don't put him in the same category as a serial killer. I think he just says,
well, not yet.
He could wait. Well, not yet. Yeah. But he could wake up one morning if he thinks somebody's in a rival vampire cult and they need to be killed. Mm-hmm. And it could be, you know, Bob, who's just at the post office. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's so dangerous about someone like Rod.
Yeah.
With the personality disorder.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. no rhyme or reason. And the schizophrenia and all of that, the delusions. Rod doesn't live in reality. He doesn't live in the reality that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's terrifying. But I think they got that one right.
Yep.
I think he's
Sounds
in
like
jail
it.
And he's the Kentucky, Florida vampire, yes. right?
Well, yeah, what's the other spooky October continues Ooh, here at True Crime.
That was a rough
one.
Great
Street.
Job,
nice
Katie.
Job,
thank
Katie Beth.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Maybe? Question mark?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Good job, Katie. And we'll put those pictures up for you. And we just talked before we turn on the microphones. We're going to get better with our emails. I know we've had some folks send us some emails.
Apparently one slipped through the cracks from last December.
Yeah. So so sorry about that. We are going to do better. Email us at truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com and just see for yourself how much better we are.
Say something flattering about us on your podcast platform of choice. Go to Facebook, shout out at us, and we will shout right back at you, but in a more positive way than we did today with our friend from December last year with the email thing. is that it, guys? Are we done?
We're done.
Good night, everybody.